This is the time of year. I don't know what it is about the front up here, but you'll find them in different places, which is kind of icky. But every once in a while we're celebrating communion, you'll see one crawling across the altar. So you might just see Pastor Dave go like that. That's just so. Well, good morning. Blessed holiday to you all this Memorial Day weekend as we remember those who died in service of the country. Our reading for this day from the Gospel is a part of what is called the Farewell Discourse. And we've had a couple of sections of this in the Easter season. And it seems odd that we would have something where Jesus is speaking to his disciples at the moment that he knows he's about to be delivered up and to die. Because after all, we're celebrating Easter, right? We're celebrating the resurrection. But you can imagine, as Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples, the fact that they must have been confused and got a bit anxious when Jesus started to talk about that he had to leave them. And when he talked about the fact that he, you know, would have to die, we know what happened when Peter said, no, we're not going to let that happen to you, and ended up creating quite a fracas because Jesus ended up rebuking Peter because it was not the way in which God had intended for Jesus to live out his life, what was going to happen. It wasn't about what Peter thought. It was about what God's plans were. You know, all of us have kinds of ideas of where our life should be and what it should be about and how things should happen, you know, and sometimes, many times, those things don't occur. In fact, there's always a curveball that somehow gets thrown at us or some kind of hurdle that gets put up before us, and it can be frustrating, it can be scary, it can be hurtful, and we just don't know sometimes where to turn. Well, I'm sure the disciples felt much the same way, and especially as we know, according to the Gospels, only one, according to the Gospel of John, remained at the foot of Jesus' cross, and that was the disciple John. All the rest had scattered in fear for their lives. Now, that's not to say anything about them other than the fact that they were literally feeling fear for their life. I don't blame them. I don't know that I would have done anything any different. Because it's hard to remember words, that something that someone has said to you, when all of a sudden these things begin to unravel, and even though he kind of forewarned of them as well as us, I think I too would be lost. You know, not really knowing what it was that Jesus had said. I didn't understand it. I'm sure they didn't understand it. And it wouldn't be till after his resurrection that things began to come together for them. But Jesus knew that they were going to need a little boost, that they were going to need something to support them. And so he speaks about this thing called the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of John, the word that he uses is called a paraclete, not parakeet, but paraclete is the Greek word, which basically means an advocate or a counselor. For some of us, we look at the Holy Spirit as one who is a comforter, one who provides us that very peace which Jesus speaks of with his disciples. The peace I give to you, peace I leave with you, is the same peace that we too receive from God every time we gather together. Now, it may not seem so peaceful for you right now, and all of us come here with all kinds of different things going on in our lives. We have all kinds of different plans for the weekend and for the Monday holiday that we have. And some plans may go on, some plans may not. Things happen. So what do we do? Well, like the disciples, I think we kind of stumble and become anxious. And that we need to recall the very words in which we hear today of what Jesus says to them, because he says the same thing to us. I can't imagine, and I don't know that we have a lot of people who are here today that can remember back in 1933. That's a long time ago. 1933 in March was the inaugural address of the inauguration of Franklin D. Roosevelt. And at that moment, we as a nation and the whole world was basically engulfed in a huge Great Depression. People couldn't make money. They couldn't earn a living. There were long bread lines. They had to depend upon the government to provide for them. People went homeless. People lost everything in that that time period. I can't imagine what that was like and how fearful that would have been for individuals. What kind of panic people must have experienced. Thankfully, we have not had that at this point. But we still do have people who go hungry every day and people who have no shelter, people who wonder how things are going to happen. And the, just the fine line that all of us walk when it comes to trying to figure out how do we take care of our medical needs as well as how do we feed our family and how do we make ends meet? Because it seems like sometimes the system is against us. Franklin Roosevelt spoke in that inauguration in his address as the one in which he speaks towards about the fear of the nation, that the only way to advance is to be able to overcome the fears that we have. As a church, we can do the same thing. There's this idea that somehow we become frozen because we believe that somehow that the world's not interested in hearing this wonderful word of God. And yet they're so desperate to hear the good news of Jesus, to hear the very words which Jesus speaks today about not letting your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid, but know my peace. Know this peace that I offer to you. There is so much out there that people are seeking, and here the whole church sits frozen in fear. We somehow become a little jumbled up when it comes to when we talk about evangelism. You know, it's a word that almost becomes, it's one of those four-letter words we never speak of, even though it's much longer than four letters. And we get fearful about being put in a position of somebody maybe coming to us and asking about our faith. But shouldn't our response be just as easy as it is to say that, you know, I am a fan of the Detroit Tigers, or I am someone who enjoys hooking. I am a person who enjoys auto racing. You know, we can let those words flow out without any problems, and yet when it comes to our faith, it's kind of like, oh, this innate fear. And it shouldn't be that way. So Franklin Roosevelt basically spoke of fear in the midst of the Great Depression, and he said that in the end that there is nothing to fear but fear itself. We allow it to paralyze us. And we become, what happens is we become entrenched so that we can't move. We can't move backwards. We can't move forward. We just stay in fear. We're almost like a deer in the headlights kind of situation where, once a light hits them, they're blinded, and they can't seem to think to go move forward or backwards or whichever way, but they stand there and get hit by a car. Maybe some of you have been in that position where that fear has caused you to just freeze. It's not a fun situation. And particularly in today's world where all of us do have issues that we need to talk about and that we need to deal with. And we know that life is not always a bowl of roses. We face in a nation that's divided and with people with many attitudes and understanding. All I have to do is mention the name Donald Trump, and some of you will be disgusted, and other of you will be, extremely supportive. But it's very hard to have a discussion around that because we become so polarized in our understanding. And we do the same thing with our faith. We become so entrenched in a certain way and a certain understanding of our faith that we will not listen to others. And we need to be open to the way in which the Spirit helps us to interact. Jesus was not somebody who was obstinate when he talked to people. In fact, if anything, he helped them to come to an understanding. The more they asked him questions, the more he asked questions back. And he would keep leading them into a deeper understanding of who he is and who God is and how God interacts in our life and how God has lifted us up, even though we don't know that. This passage from the gospel is, in the beginning of it, is the very one that's one of my favorites, which you often will hear at a service for the death of a loved one. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. For I tell you, I go away from you. I go to my Father's house to prepare a room for you. And where I am going at this moment, you cannot come, but I will come back. Don't be afraid. So whatever weighs heavy on your heart today, I want to suggest that in your prayers in a few moments that you lift those things up. Ask that God embrace you with the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that it's going to go away, but I do know and I find that in my own prayer life, in my own faith life, that the Spirit does lead me into situations and places that I am most surprised. And I do get through those moments of struggle, particularly when dealing with the death of a loved one or in the questions that sometimes we have in the direction of which our church is going. And yet somehow God speaks to each of us. Somehow God helps us to have a clear vision of where we should be. And we also learn that it's not about me, but it's about what God desires for the world. And God desires for the world, for you and for me, that we understand that he loves us so much, that we celebrate in this Easter season and every Sunday we gather together the resurrection of Jesus, because it means that we do not need to be afraid of death, that we do not need to be afraid of the unknown, because God is the one that is walking with us and oftentimes is the one that's carrying us through those moments. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. For those of our high schoolers who are graduating, it's an exciting time. It's also kind of scary, too, because it means, you know, you're getting to that place where you're becoming independent and you start to make decisions on your own without having your parents guiding you the whole way. And that can be kind of scary. It can be exciting. But in those moments, in those times where you've had, your parents come or someone who supports you come and help you through that situation, there may be that moment that they won't be there. And we have to trust ourselves. We trust that God leads us to where we need to be. I firmly believe a year ago that God brought us together with St. Andrews. For whatever reason, and it has been a rather amazing experience. And I appreciate the fact that you have been praying about that and your support for Pastor Marcy and I as we've kind of had to alternate in caring and being here on Sunday, and for your patience for that. And as I shared in a little blurb on Facebook, I feel that I have been blessed to be a part of two amazing congregations. And they are just about ready to take off on their own once again, and I'm excited for them. And I hope that you are as well, but also knowing that there are many opportunities in the future of how we as a community and St. Andrews may be able to do some things together. That's exciting. Ever since you have called me to be your senior pastor, I've felt that one of the things that we need to do is to open our hearts up to our Christian brothers and sisters and see how we can work together, because it's not just about us working our own little plot in the vineyard, but it's about helping others to harvest. It's about helping others to plant. It's about helping others to cultivate. And when there are times that perhaps maybe they need support, we are there to stand and give them support, because we know that would happen if we needed that as well. That's why as a group of Lutherans, we gather together in what's called a synod, which means to come together as a community, a family. And not only are we one of 65 synods in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, but we are of the whole church. And we are fed by the one Lord, just as you are about to be fed in a few moments. Just as you are about to be nourished in your spiritual life, that you are going to be strengthened and be reminded that when you leave from this building this morning, that you go with Christ within you. And that you go with the Spirit who will lead you. And even though you may just be going down to the Brandywine or New Beginnings or going home or going off on an overnight celebration up north somewhere, the Spirit is with you. And when those moments are called for it, that you can reach out and the Spirit will give you that strength to get through those moments. And that the Spirit will give you the words to speak the very peace in which Jesus speaks to us today in the gospel. In the reading from Acts this morning, we hear about how Paul hears from someone in a vision to come to Macedonia. And when they get there, they discover a group of women who are at the riverside who are praying. And they encounter a rather wealthy individual whose name is Lydia. And she is a worshiper of God. And she listens. Her ears are opened by the Spirit. And she hears. And she becomes a leader of that church. And it would be the Spirit who would have led Paul to her. And the Spirit which led Lydia to Paul. Just as for whatever reason, your parents or you were brought here by the Holy Spirit. You were baptized by the Holy Spirit. You were baptized in the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You were given a new life through this gift of the Holy Spirit. You are given the opportunity to be strong and to be bold in the name of the Holy Spirit. You are able to share words that you cannot even imagine that you have at the right moment, at the right time, that you can share these things because of this gift of the Holy Spirit. The advocate, the counselor, the comforter. You have been blessed. We have been blessed. And each of us individually have a unique and amazing gift. So I leave with these words once again, what Jesus speaks. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. Have the confidence and the courage to know that you individually and as a whole, we are loved. And because we are loved, we do not need to be afraid that we will be abandoned, but that we can take this love and we can turn this world upside down on its head. We don't need to be frozen in fear, but that we should be eager and excited to take this very wonderful news and tell it to the world. And maybe, just maybe, we will see in our lifetime that vision which Revelation proclaims, where all nations will come together, where we will see healing, and we will see war no more. What a beautiful vision. May God bless us in our journey, and may we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord each and every day. And the very gift of what Jesus speaks to us in receiving the Holy Spirit. My peace I give with you, my peace I leave with you. Amen.